Good evening. Happy Hay Ba'av, the Hilulah, the day of joy for Rabbi Isaac Luria. Please join me in saying the Anna Bekoach. Anna Bekoach, Gedula Chemincha, Tati. The gematria of these six letters is 506, which is the same gematria as Ahavat Hinam, unconditional love. And also, the gematria of the 72 name, Vav Shin Resh. Kabel rinat amcha sadveinu taharenu nora kufreshayan sintet nun. These six letters spell two Hebrew words, kra, which means tear up, and satan, the name of the negative force that gives us free will. The same six letters can be rearranged to spell two other Hebrew words, Sha'ar Katan, which means small gates, and reminds us to guard the gates, which are the entry points for the negative system. Our small gates are our eyes, our ears, our nose, and our mouth. Na gibor dorshe yehudcha kevavat shamrem. Nun gimel dalet yud kaf shin. Nun gimel dalet has a gematria of 57, which is the Hebrew word zan, which means parnasa or sustenance. Yud kaf shin is a sequence that we utilize to take back the energy we've given to the negative side through our mistakes. Barchem tacharem rakame sitkatcha tamid gamem. Petetresh Tzaditav Gimel. This verse connects us to the Hebrew month of Av, and we utilize the letters of the Kaf, which created the sun, and the Tet, that created the planet. Well, it created the constellation Aryeh, which is the lion, as well as the month of Av. The sequence of six letters in this verse connects us to the Sefirot of Netzach, and one of the aspects of Netzach is eternal victory. Chasim kadosh v'rov tuvcha na'el adatach. Tet kuf bet, tet nun ayin. These six letters connect us to the Sefirot of Hod, the Sefirot that has the essence of gratitude, of thanksgiving and appreciation. Yachid ge'e lamcha p'nei zokre kedushatach. Yud gimel lamed pei zayin kuf. This sequence of letters helps speed the spreading of the wisdom of Kabbalah during this, the sixth millennium. Shabbatenu Kabel Ushma Tiakatenu Yodea Talumot Shinkufav Tadiyutaf. Shin and Kuf represent perfection in that their gematria is 400, 4 times 10 sephirot within 10 sephirot, the number of perfection in all of the four worlds. Vav Tzadiyutaf is again 506 and connects us to unconditional love and teaches us that perfection can only be achieved with the attribute of love. And the last line we say in a whisper, which we refer to as silently. Tonight is normally a night to read from the Zohar, but there really is no Zohar in Devarim. And I thought I would read instead what the Ben Ish Chai recommends to be studied in an all-night study, so we won't get through it completely. But I thought I'd start reading from the all-night study, that is titled the Sefer Yitgaber Ka'ari, and I'm not sure how to translate Yitgaber, but it's the Tikkun for the fifth of Av, the Yortzeit of the Ha'ari HaKadosh. Anytime someone stays up all night to study Kabbalah, one is removing something that a spiritual judgment called a karet. In the Torah, you'll see certain actions mean that the person is to be cut off from his nation. That's a karet. That's the judgment. And when you study all night and stay up all night studying Kabbalah, you remove a karet. It's highly recommended to do that as you are able to do so. So I'm starting with the Hakdama, the introduction. During the Tikkun Chatzot prayers said at noon on weekdays during these 3 weeks, I'm going to stop there just to give you some background. Tikkun Chatzot means correction of midnight. And it is a set of psalms and prayers and that only, and I stress this, only extremely spiritual religious people do. It's highly recommended. It's an amazing experience. But it is to rise at midnight and say these verses. Initially, one actually is supposed to be sitting on the ground crying over the loss of the temple. And then one rises and praises God. It's highly recommended. There is a story told of a Talmid, a student of Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, who, try as he might, was not able to get up at midnight. He just could not break that pattern, and he could not get up at the stroke of midnight. He could get up later in the morning, but he just couldn't get up, and he was very upset and distraught by this. And he went to his Rebbe, Rabbi Nachman, and explained his problem, and the Rebbe said, okay, for you, Chatzot is at 11 o'clock. It's an interesting story to exactly understand how time can be relative, and time is actually relative, because mercy is relative, and time is an aspect of mercy. But during the three-week period, one of the rituals, one of the minhagim, is to, and it's the only time that we say the Tikkun Chatzot during the daytime. And we say it at noon on weekdays, not on Shabbat, of course. And so that's what we're starting out with as the introduction. During the Tikkun Chatzot prayers said at noon on weekdays during these 3 weeks and at midnight all other days, we read from Yirmiyahu chapter 25. Hashem Yishag roars from on high and sends out his voice from his holy abode. He is Yishag, Se'ag, roaring over his logic. This is the roaring of a lion in pain, for Hashem is mourning over the destruction of his house. This is a statement made by Rashi. These are the 22 days of punishment and tremendous restriction. In these days of the most yearly light, we are plunged into extreme darkness. I clothe the heavens in blackness and make sackcloth their garment. Isaiah chapter 50. Over the disaster of my people have I been shattered. I am blackened. Jeremiah chapter 8. Yet embedded into the coal black garb of mourners, we find at least 4 points of light. For during this period we celebrate the passing of Rashi HaKadosh on the 29th day of Tammuz, the Ramak on the 23rd day of Tammuz, Aaron HaKohen on Rosh Chodesh Av, and the Arizal HaKadosh, the 5th of Av. These are 4 points of light to keep our inner candle burning, a Yahrzeit candle at that, to show us how a little light of Holy Torah can dispel a whole lot of darkness of the external forces. We at Yeshem are starting to build a list of tzaddikim that you can connect to each day of the year to have this essence of light and connection. The tzaddikim have left this world, but they do not die. And by not dying, they actually left the world as part of God's plan. And they're available for us to utilize their services in helping us achieve our correction. All we need to do is connect to them by lighting a candle, a Yahrzeit candle, a 25-hour candle, and by saying their name. Their name brings light, because their name brings their soul, and their soul connects to your soul and helps bring the balance into your life. During this 3-week period, there are many major, amazing tzaddikim who've chosen to leave. The greatest number of tzaddikim who died on a given day is Rosh Chodesh Av, which includes Aaron HaKadosh, Rashi on the 29th. But the idea of the Arizal, which is not said in this Hakama, but is taught by the Rabbi Ashlag, the Ari chose to leave on the fifth day of the fifth month, and as such, five represents the Sfira of Chod. Because counting from Chesed Batiferet Netzach Hod, we have Hod as the fifth Sefirah. And Hod Shebechod, the fifth of the fifth, is an essence of potential energy that can be utilized without the limitation of the physicality, because Hod represents Malchut in a spiritual sense, not in a physical sense, which would have the limitation of the physical, but manifestation or malchut in the spiritual sense. This is Chod Shebechod, and while Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai left on Chod Shebechod in the counting of the Omer, the Ari left within the 9-day period, right in the middle, Chod Shebechod, to bring us balance. The Ben Ish Chai has compiled, Ben Ish-Chai is a Sephardic sage, very famous, very high soul. The name translates as the son of a living man. Has compiled an evening of commemorative learning in the merit of the last of these points of light, the Arizal, the Ari, which means lion, most of which has been translated in this book, which takes its title from the opening of the Shulchan Aruch, the Halakhic Guidebook to Daily Living, and the laws of waking up in the morning, first things first. Yitgaber ke'ari, one should strengthen himself like a lion to get up in the morning, to serve his Creator, so that it is he who awakens the dawn. Now I know I didn't understand the to be able to translate the title. I will caution you, the Shulchan Aruch is to be followed. One should wake up like a lion and then slowly get out of bed, because it is unhealthy to quickly rise. That is unhealthy both in modern science and in the Shulchan Aruch and other commentaries teaching us, wake up like a lion. Be excited to be up. Raise your voice in the sense of being excited, being up. But the movement physically out of bed can be slow. Not to lay around in bed, but to slowly move to the rising, sitting position and then to the standing. For our purposes, Yitgaber Ka'ari, we are holding, one should strengthen himself like the Ari. And what is the secret of the Ari's success in achieving such amazing heights of Ruchniyot, spirituality? He served Hashem the Simcha, with joy. In all his ways, the Ari served God with joy. This has tremendous meaning for us during these 3 weeks, when we are supposed to reduce joy. Here we read, to rejoice b'simcha, to mean to reduce joyously, to begin to restrict our pleasurable activities with the joy of the Ari in everything we do. And why? Because of the famous story of Rabbi Akiva, who with his colleague saw a fox rummaging around the ruins of the temple. His colleague's cries of woe were matched by Rabbi Akiva's laughter of joy. Joy in the knowledge that just as negative prophecies were fulfilled about the temple's demise, so too will the positive prophecies be fulfilled about the coming of Mashiach and the world to come. The end result of our restriction of the 22 days culminates on the 9th of Av, a day where there is no Tachanun Sap, which is a part of the afternoon prayer, and it's referred to as supplication, but it's a series of psalms and other prayers. And it's a very, very beneficial thing to do. The Kabbalah Center does not follow Tachanun. They almost never say it. And that is because there is a Sadiq every day, and therefore every day is potentially a Hilulah, a day of joy, such that the spiritual halakha, spiritual path, says on days of joy you don't need to say Tachanun. Now that halakha is followed by everyone, but most people don't consider the yortzeit of a Sadiqa Hilulah, but it truly is. The day that the person left, the light that he reveals, is the totality of all the light of his life. That is a day of joy. So the end result of our restriction of the 22 days culminates in the 9th of Av, a day where there is no Tachanun, and the day where our Mashiach is destined to be born. This is a reason to strengthen ourselves like the Ari, the Simcha. For even in the heart of Echa, the scroll of Lamentations, which we cry over twice on the ninth of Av, we find Hashem's kindness surely has not ended, nor his mercy is exhausted. They are new every morning. Rabba Emunatecha, great is your faithfulness. This last phrase is familiar, for it is the declaration of gratitude, which is to be upon our lips immediately upon arising each day. It is the strength of faith that the Ari uses to get up in the morning to serve his Creator, like a lion, roaring to awaken the dawn. And it is his strength of faith which is the determinant of the Tzaddik, righteous one, who lived by his faith. The one-liner fundamental of all of the Torah. He's quoting a verse from Habakkuk chapter 2. The Tzaddik, the Emunato, Yihyeh. The righteous one lives by his faith. The Ben Ish Chai's collection of precious learning from Mishnah, Gemara, and Zohar, here adapted and modified extensively from translations by Sassino, revolves around the role of the Tzaddik in the merit of the Ari. Also included in his collection, Tikkun HaYesod, the healing of one's sexual covenant, for Mishlei, chapter 10, proclaims, Tzaddik Yesod Olam, the righteous is the Yesod, the foundation of the universe. A Tzaddik is balanced and healthy with his Yesod, sexual energies. So may we be healed from after our study this night. Amen. Our joy on this night and day of the 5th of Av, which is approaching 9th of Av, is to see the world with the eyes of the Tzaddik, to strengthen our faith with the heart of the Tzaddik, and to bond with all like the soul of the Tzaddik. The Tzaddik Katamar Yitra, the righteous flourishes like the palm tree. Bless my wife for supporting all my projects. For the sake of the elevation of the main Tzaddik in my life, Moria the Avi Shemuel ben Moshe, Yaakov, my teacher and father, Samuel Drizim. This is introduction written by Rachmiel Chaim Drizin, the person who put together this English translation. We light a Yortzeit candle in memory of the Arizal. Tzadikim do tshuva constantly. So we too begin our learning by personal confession. The Bedui, translated by Abraham Sutton. I'm going to put you on hold for a second. Hello? Including dealing with some of the translations and assisting with Rabbi Aryeh Kaplan in his writings. This is his translation of the Bedui Tefillah, which is the confession that we say many times during the high holidays, and also should be said every night as part of the nighttime Shema. We beseech you, Hashem, our God and God of our ancestors, let our prayers come before you, our King, do not ignore our supplications. For Hashem, our God, and God of our ancestors, we are not so arrogant and stiff-necked as to think that we are completely righteous and have not erred. On the contrary, we want to admit to you and to ourselves that we have erred. We have sinned intentionally in order to satisfy our lust. I should do that. I'm sorry. On the contrary, we want to admit to you and to ourselves that we have erred. Hebrew word is chet. We have sinned intentionally in order to satisfy our lust. The Hebrew word is avon. And we have rebelliously committed crimes which have caused us to become coarse and sensitive and therefore unworthy of your forgiveness. The Hebrew word is pesha. This goes for us, our parents, and the members of our families, whether now or in previous lifetimes. We wish to admit our guilt, but not to fall into excessive guilt, which actually prevents us from doing tshuva. We have been ungrateful for all the good done to us, and even repaid back for good. We have robbed. We have been two-faced and spoken slander behind others' backs. We have caused others to deviate from the right path. We have caused others to do wrong. We have acted maliciously. We have acted violently and fraudulently to get what we want. We have framed lies and been deceitful in order to save ourselves and get others in trouble. We have advised others to do things that were harmful to them. We have spoken falsely and not kept our word. We let our anger get the best of us. We have scoffed and made light of serious matters. We have rebelled against you. We have compromised your truth for your own convenience. We have shown contempt and thereby provoked your displeasure. We have committed adultery and other sexual offenses. We have been stubborn and turned our hearts away from you. We have sinned intentionally in order to satisfy our lust and have gotten caught in the web of our own rationalizations. We have rebelliously committed crimes which have caused us to become coarse and insensitive and therefore unworthy of your forgiveness. We have damaged the very things which are most sacred and precious to us. We have oppressed and harassed. We have caused our parents grief and anguish. We have been stiff-necked and obstinately ignored all of your reminders to repent and return and better our ways. We have acted wickedly and become twisted inside. We have corrupted and destroyed our innate sense of right and wrong. We have lost our human dignity and stooped to the level of animals. We have completely gone astray and lost our way in life. We have misled others to go astray as well. In some, we have turned away from your good commandments and ethical laws, all to no avail. But you are just with regard to any punishment that befalls us, for you have acted truthfully, while we have just hardened our hearts and become more enmeshed in our sins. I will point out to you that in the confession, when we say it in Hebrew, the confession is in order of the alphabet, and then also in the reverse order of the alphabet, representing direct light and returning light. So while this translation is very effective, it loses much in the translation, as all translations do. And one should really be doing this in the Hebrew or the Aramaic originally. And then for the ego, for the understanding that we crave, to read it in English. This is sections of the Perkei Avot. The translation is coming from Chabad organization. The Perkei Avot is a section of the Talmud that most people consider the Kabbalah, because it deals with improving oneself and in handling one's values. So reading from the Pirkei Avot, which is recommended by the Ben Ishchai, chapter 1. Moses received the Torah from Sinai and gave it over to Joshua. Joshua gave it over to the elders to the prophets, and the prophets gave it over to the men of the great assembly. They, the men of the great assembly, would always say these three things: be cautious in judgment, establish many pupils, and make a safety fence around the Torah. Now, each one of these verses I can comment on forever. Being caution and judgment is very clear. Always remember, when you judge, you are being judged, unless you're judging yourself. And that's one of the spiritual laws. When you judge yourself, Hashem in the spiritual world doesn't judge you. When you judge others, then you are being judged with your own words. Always know it. With your own words, whatever you describe about the other person, that's what will manifest in your judgment somewhere in time, God forbid. Establish many pupils. Obviously, that makes sense to do. And this is the one I love the most. Make a safety fence around the Torah. And a fence is something that is interesting in that it can keep things in, as well as keep things out. And the first fence around the Torah was Adam, who didn't think much of Eve's ability to understand truth. And so when God said to Adam, do not eat from the tree of knowledge, good and evil, Adam told Eve, do not touch the tree of knowledge, good and evil. That's a fence. That's a moving forward. It's not a completely accurate statement. Interesting things to understand about the fence, and it is one of our values, one of our Torah values, to constantly build fences so that people do not stumble and fall. Shimon the Righteous was among the last surviving members of the Great Assembly. He would say, the world stands on three things: Torah, the service of God, and deeds of kindness. Verse 3, Antignos of Socho received the tradition from Shimon the Righteous. He would say, do not be as slaves who serve their master for the sake of reward. Rather, be as slaves who serve their master not for the sake of reward, and the fear of heaven should be upon you. Chapter 4. Yossi, the son of Yotzer of Treda, and Yossi, the son of Yochanan of Jerusalem, received the tradition from them. Yossi, the son of Yotzer of Treda, would say, let your home be a meeting place for the wise. Dust yourself in the soil of their feet, and drink thirstily of their words. Yossi, the son of Yochanan of Jerusalem, would say, let your home be wide open, and let the poor be members of your household. And do not engage in excessive conversation with a woman. This is said even regarding one's own wife. How much more so regarding the wife of another? Hence, the sages said, one who excessively converses with a woman causes evil to himself, neglects the study of Torah, and in the end, inherits purgatory, which is the English translation of the Hebrew word Gehinnom, which is usually translated as hell. Purgatory is a different word in the English and the church-related Western civilization. You'll also begin to know that these verses are dealing with two people at a time. Throughout our history, there have been two times when our leader was both a king, a political leader, meaning a king, and a spiritual leader, meaning a priest. In the one case, it was Moses, because he encapsulated both aspects of leadership. And the other was at the time of the drafting of the Talmud, when the Judah the prince, a descendant from King David, was authorized to write down the oral law, the oral tradition. And in so doing, he took on the mantle of both the spiritual leadership and the kingly leadership, the political leadership. But throughout our history, we have always had two leaders. We have always had a political leader and a spiritual leader. And these men, as we're reading these men, are talking about and represent these two aspects. Chapter 6, verse 6, Joshua the son of Pariah and Nittai the Arbelite received from them. Joshua the son of Pariah would say, "Assume for yourself a master, acquire for yourself a friend, and judge every man to the side of merit." A famous, famous verse. Assume for yourself a master and acquire for yourself a friend. Sometimes it says, choose a master, choose a teacher, purchase a friend, and judge every man to the side of merit. But I will leave those comments because we'll be here all night, which we will be anyway. Nittai, the Abelite, would say, distance yourself from a bad neighbor, do not cleave to a wicked person, and do not abandon belief in retribution. Verse 8, Judah the son of Tabai and Shimon the son of Shota received from them. Judah the son of Tabai would say, when sitting in judgment, do not act as a counselor at law. When the litigants stand before you, consider them both guilty. And when they leave your courtroom, having accepted the judgment, regard them as equally righteous. Verse 9, Shimon the son of Shota would say, increasingly cross-examine the witnesses. Be careful with your words, lest they learn from them how to lie. One of the aspects of this discussion is we as the Jewish people have the responsibility of setting the new moon, declaring the new moon. And in fact, the natural progress of the new moon doesn't really happen until we do it. Now, the sages have said it isn't necessary because we've calculated what it will be. But there are groups, especially the Karaites, who do declare the new moon each month. And there are times when they follow a different calendar. A year of 13 months versus 12, and being off a day or two from the new moon cycle. Verse 10. Shemaiah and Avkalion received from them. Shemaiah would say, love work, love mastery over others, and avoid intimacy with the government. I wonder what some of the people accused of fraud in the last 30 years would say about that. Avtalon would say, scholars, be careful with your words, for you may be exiled to a place inhabited by evil elements, who will distort your words to serve their negative purposes. The disciples who come after you will then drink of these evil waters and be destroyed, and the name of heaven will be desecrated. He is saying, when you teach, you have the responsibility to be aware of everything that your students might do with your teaching. You cannot say, I didn't know, because a teacher has the responsibility to understand as he being the cause of this teaching, he has to understand where it will take his students, where it will take the world. Hillel and Shammai received from them. Hillel would say, be of the disciples of Aaron, a lover of peace, a pursuer of peace, one who loves the creatures and draws them close to Torah. He would also say, one who advances his name destroys his name. One who does not increase diminishes. One who does not learn is deserving of death. And one who makes personal use of the crown of Torah shall perish. He would also say, if I am not for myself, who is for me? And if I am only for myself, what am I? And if not now, when? You've heard that before. It's a very famous quote from the Perkei Avot section of the Talmud. Shammai would say, make your Torah study a permanent fixture of your life. Say little and do much, and receive every man with pleasant countenance. Rabban Gamliel would say, assume for yourself a master, stay away from doubt, and do not accustom yourself to tithe by estimation. Even the statement, how many of us tithe in this world today? His son, Shimon, would say, all my life I have been raised among the wise, and I have found nothing better for the body than silence. The essential thing is not study, but deed. And one who speaks excessively brings on sin. Rabbi Shimon, the son of Gamliel, would say, by three things is the world sustained, law, truth, and peace. As is stated in Zechariah, truth and a judgment of peace you should administer at your city gates. Now we are jumping to chapter 6, skipping 2, 3, 4, and 5, which is okay, because this is what the Ben Ish Chai has told us to do. The sages expounded in the language of the Mishnah, blessed is he who chose them and their learning. Rabbi Meir would say, whoever studies Torah for Torah's sake alone merits many things. Not only that, but creation of the entire world is worthwhile for him alone. He is called friend, beloved lover of God, lover of humanity, rejoicer of God, rejoicer of humanity. The Torah enclothes him with humility and awe, makes him fit to be righteous, pious, correct, and faithful, distances him from sin, and brings him close to merit. From him people enjoy counsel and wisdom, understanding and power, as is stated. Mine are counsel and wisdom. I am understanding. Mine is power. The Torah grants him sovereignty, dominion, and jurisprudence. The Torah's secrets are revealed to him, and he becomes as an ever-increasing wellspring, as in an increasing river. He becomes modest, patient, and forgiving of insults. The Torah uplifts him and makes him greater than all creations. Verse 2. Said Rabbi Joshua, the son of Levi, every day an echo resounds from Mount Horeb, which is Mount Sinai, proclaiming and saying, woe is to the creatures who insult the Torah. For one who does not occupy himself in Torah is considered an outcast, as is stated in Proverbs. A golden nose ring in the snout of a swine, a beautiful woman bereft of reason. And it says, and the tablets are the work of God, and the writing is God's writing, engraved on the tablets. Read not engraved, which is the Hebrew word harut, but liberty, the Hebrew word herut. For there is no free individual except for he who occupies himself with the study of Torah. And whoever occupies himself with the study of Torah is elevated as is stated in Numbers, and from the gift to Nahaliel, and from Nahaliel to the heights. I'm thinking about whether to comment on this, because it's a very famous teaching, and it's essentially saying there is no free individual except that he who studies Torah, because the only freedom is the freedom from the desire to receive for oneself alone. And the only way to free oneself from that desire is by using Torah as its cure, as its vaccine. Verse 3. One who learns from his fellow a single chapter, or a single law, or a single verse, or a single word, or even a single letter, he must treat him with respect. For so we find with David, king of Israel, who did not learn anything from Ahithophel, except for two things alone. Yet he called him his master, his guide, and his intimate, as is stated in Psalms, "And you are a man of my worth, my guide and intimate friend." Surely we can infer a fortiori if David, king of Israel, who learned nothing from Ahithophel, except for two things alone, nevertheless refers to him as his master, guide, and intimate. It certainly goes without saying that one who learns from his fellow a single chapter, a law, a verse, a saying, or even a single letter, is obligated to revere him. And there is no reverence but Torah, as it is stated in Proverbs, "The sages shall inherit honor, and the integral shall inherit good." And there is no good but Torah, as is stated, "I have given you a good purchase, my Torah, do not forsake it." Excuse me, I need to get some water. Verse 4, such is the way of Torah. Bread with salt you shall eat, water in small measure. You shall drink, and upon the ground you shall sleep. Live a life of deprivation and toil in Torah. If so you do, fortunate are you, and good is to you. Fortunate are you in this world, and it is good to you in the world to come. Anybody ever tell you studying Torah will make you poor? God forbid. Understand these verses in the ways they're meant, not in the ways you read them. Do not seek greatness for yourself, and do not lust for honor. More than you study, do. Desire not the table of kings, for your table is greater than theirs, and your crown is greater than theirs. And faithful is your employer to pay you the rewards of your work. Who is your employer? Hashem is your employer. Verse 6. Torah is greater than the priesthood, or sovereignty, for sovereignty is acquired with 30 virtues, the priesthood with 24, and Torah is acquired with 48 qualities. These are study, listening, verbalizing, comprehension of the heart, awe, fear, humility, joy, purity, serving the sages, companionship with one's contemporaries, debating with one's students, tranquility, study of the scriptures, study of the Mishnah, minimizing engagement in business, minimizing socialization, minimizing pleasure, minimizing sleep, minimizing talk, minimizing gaiety, slowness to anger, good-heartedness, faith in the sages, acceptance of suffering, knowing one's place, satisfaction with one's lot, qualifying one's words, not taking credit for oneself, likableness, love of God, love of humanity, love of charity, love of justice, love of rebuke, fleeing from honor, lack of arrogance in learning, reluctance to hand down rulings, participating in the burden of one's fellow, judging him to the side of merit, correcting him, bringing him to a peaceful resolution of his disputes, deliberation in study, asking and answering, listening and illuminating, learning in order to teach, learning in order to observe, wising one's teacher, exactness in conveying a teaching and saying something in the name of its speaker. Thus we have learned one who says something in the name of its speaker brings redemption to the world, as is stated. And Esther told the king in the name of Mordechai. Verse 7. Great is Torah, for it gives life to its observers in this world and in the world to come, as is stated, for they are life to he who finds them, and a healing to all his flesh. And it says, it shall be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. And it says, she is a tree of life for those who hold fast to her, and happy are those who support her. And it says, for they shall be a garland of grace for your head, and necklaces about your neck. And it says, she shall give to your head a garland of grace, a crown of glory she shall grant you. With me your days shall be increased, and years of life shall be added to you. And it says, long days in her right hand, in her left, wealth and honor. And it says, for long days, years of life and peace, they shall add to you. Rabbi Shimon, the son of Judah, would say in the name of Rabbi Shimon, the son of Yochai, beauty, strength, wealth, honor, wisdom, sageness, old age, and children are becoming to the righteous and becoming to the world. As is stated, old age is a crown of beauty to be found in the ways of righteousness. And it says, the beauty of youth is their strength, and the glory of sages is their age. And it says, the crown of sages are their grandchildren, and the beauty of children their fathers. And it says, and the moon shall be abashed, and the sun shamed, for the Lord of hosts has reigned in Zion, and before his elders is glory. Rabbi Shimon, the son of Manasseh, would say, these seven qualities enumerated by the sages for the righteous were all realized in Rabbi Yudah Hanasi and his sons. Verse 9. Said Rabbi Yossi, the son of Kisma, once I was traveling and I encountered a man. He greeted me and I returned his greetings. Said he to me, Rabbi, where are you from? Said I to him, from a great city of sages and scholars am I. Said he to me, Rabbi, would you like to dwell with us in our place? I will give you 1,000,000 dinars of gold, precious stones, and pearls. Said I to him, if you were to give me all the silver, gold, precious stones, and pearls in the world, I would not dwell anywhere but in a place of Torah. Indeed, so is written in the book of Psalms by David, the king of Israel. I prefer the Torah of your mouth over thousands in gold and silver. Furthermore, when a person passes from this world, neither silver nor gold, nor precious stones nor pearls accompany him, only Torah and good deeds, as is stated. When you go, it will direct you. When you lie down, it will watch over you. And when you awaken, it shall be your speech. When you go, it will direct you. In this world, when you lie down, it will watch over you, in the grave. And when you awaken, it shall be our speech, in the world to come. Also it says, mine is the silver and mine is the gold, so says the Lord of hosts. God acquired 5 acquisitions in this world. These are, 1 acquisition is the Torah. 1 acquisition are the heavens and the earth. 1 acquisition is Abraham. 1 acquisition is the people of Israel. And 1 acquisition is the Holy Temple. The Torah, as it is written, God acquired me as the beginning of his way, before his works of yore. The heavens and the earth, as it is written, so says God. The heavens are my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What house, then, can you build for me? And where is my place of rest? And it says, how many are your works, O God? You have made them all with wisdom. The earth is filled with your acquisitions. Abraham, as it is written, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham to God Most High, acquirer of heavens and earth. Israel, as it is written, till your nation, O God, shall pass, till this nation you have acquired shall pass. And it says, to the holy who are upon earth, the noble ones in whom is all my delight, the holy temple, as it is written, the base for your dwelling that you, God, have achieved, the sanctuary, O Lord, that your hands have established. And it says, and he brought them to his holy domain, his dismount his right hand has acquired. Everything that God created in his world, he did not create but for his glory. As it is stated, all that is called by my name and for my glory, I created it, formed it, also I made it. And it says, God shall reign forever and ever. We are now at the section of the Gemara. We are also approaching the hour, so I am going to continue, but know that we won't be finishing. Brachot 17a. A favorite saying of Rab was, the future world is not like this world. In the future world there is no eating, nor drinking, nor propagation, nor business, nor jealousy, nor hatred, nor competition. But the righteous sit with their crowns on their heads, feasting on the brightness of the divine presence, as it says, and they beheld God and did eat and drink. When Rabbi Yochanan finished the book of Job, he used to say the following, the end of man is to die, and the end of a beast is to be slaughtered, and all are doomed to die. Happy he who was brought up in the Torah, and whose labor was in the Torah, and who was given pleasure to his Creator, and who grew up with a good name, and departed the world with a good name. And of him Solomon said, a good name is better than precious oil, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Why would the day of your death be better than the day of your birth? Because your birth is only in potential. You have all this work to do. But the day of your death manifests all that you have achieved. For the living, know that they shall die. These are the righteous who in their death are called living, as it says, and Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a living man from Kabzeel, who had done mighty deeds, he destroyed the two altar hearths of Moab. He went down and also slew a lion in the midst of a pit in the time of snow. The son of a living man, are all other people than the sons of dead men? Rather, the son of a living man means that even in his death he was called living. From Kabzeel, who had done mighty deeds, this indicates that he gathered numerous workers for the Torah. He destroyed two altar hearths of Moab. This indicates that he did not leave his like either in the first temple or in the second temple. He went down and also killed a lion in the midst of a pit in the time of snow. Some say that this indicates that he broke blocks of ice and went down and bathed. Others say that he learned the Sifra of the school of Rab on a winter's day. Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, all the prophets prophesied only on behalf of one who gives his daughter in marriage to a scholar, and who conducts business on behalf of a scholar, and who allows a scholar the use of his possessions. But as for the scholars themselves, I have not seen. God beside you, what he will do for you that waits for him. Rabbi Hia Bar Abbas also said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, all the prophets prophesied only for the days of the Messiah, but as for the world, to come, eye has not seen, God beside you. These rabbis differ from Samuel, for Samuel said, there is no difference between this world and the days of the Messiah, except that in the latter there will be no bondage of foreign powers. As it says, for the poor shall never cease out of the land. Rabbi Chia Bar Abba also said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, all the prophets prophesied only on behalf of penitents, but as for the holy righteous, eye has not seen, O God, beside you. He differs in this from Rabbi Abahu, for Rabbi Abahu said, in the place where penitents stand, even the holy righteous cannot stand. As it says, peace. Peace to him that was far and to him that is near. To him that was far first and then to him that is near. Rabbi Yochanan, however, said, what is meant by far? One who from the beginning was far from transgression. And what is meant by near? That he was once near to transgression and now has gone far from it. What is the meaning of eye has not seen? Rabbi Joshua ben Levi said, this is the wine which has been preserved in its grapes from the 6 days of creation. Rabbi Samuel ben Nachman said, this is Eden, which has never been seen by the eye of any creature. Perhaps you will say, where then was Adam? He was in the garden. Perhaps you will say the garden and Eden are the same. Not so. For the text says, and a river went out of Eden to water the garden. The garden is one thing, and Eden is another. We're now at the section of Shabbat. Because a man does his long home, Rabbi Isaac observed, this teaches that every righteous person is given a habitation, as befits his honor. This may be compared to a king who enters a town, together with his servants. They all enter through the same gate when they spend the night. Each is given a lodging as befits his honor. But our rabbis taught, and the dust returned to the earth as it was, and the spirit returned unto God, who gave it. Render it back to him as he gave it to you in purity. So do you return it in purity. This may be compared to a mortal king who distributed royal apparel to his servants. The wise among them folded it up and laid it away in a chest, whereas the fools among them went and did their work in them. After a time, the king demanded his garments. The wise among them returned them to him immaculate, but the fools among them returned them soiled. The king was pleased with the wise, but angry with the fools. Of the wise, he said, let my robes be placed in my treasury, and they can go home in peace. By the fools, he said, let my robes be given to the fuller, and let them be confined in prison. Thus, too, with the Holy One, blessed be he, concerning the bodies of the righteous. He says he enters into peace, and they rest in their beds. While concerning their souls, he said, let the soul of my Lord shall be bound up in the bundle of life with the Lord your God. Now from the portion, the Mishnah of Tanit. Rabbi Chia Bar Luliani expounded, what is the meaning of the verse, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree? He should glow like a cedar in Lebanon? If it is said palm tree, why is also said cedar? And a cedar, why also palm tree? Had it been said palm tree and not cedar, I might have argued that just as same way as the stem of the palm tree does not renew itself, so too the stem of the righteous, heaven forbid, does not renew itself. Therefore it is said cedar. Had it been said cedar and not palm tree, I might have argued that just in the same way as a creeder does not yield fruit, so too the righteous do not yield fruit. Therefore it is said palm tree and cedar. Ela Briah said in the name of Rabbi Elazar, in the days to come the Holy One, blessed be He, will hold a chorus for the righteous, and He will sit in their midst in the Garden of Eden, and every one of them will point with his finger towards Him, as it is said, and it shall be said in that day, this is our God for whom we waited, that He might save us. This is the God for whom we waited. We will be glad and rejoice in His salvation. Now for the Book of Yoma. Rabbi Elazar further said, even for the sake of a single righteous man would this world have been created. For it is said, and God saw the light that it was for who was good. And good means that the righteous, as it is said, say of the righteous that he is the good one. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, no righteous man dies out of this world before another like himself is created. As it is said, the sun also rises, and the sun goes down. Before the son of Eli set, the son of Samuel of Ramathion rose. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba also said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, the Holy One blessed be, he saw that the righteous are but few. Therefore he planted them throughout all generations. For it is said, for the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. Yes, there are righteous even in our generation, but this generation has lost the merit to know who they are. They are concealed. Typically, there has always been 36 concealed righteous and 36 revealed righteous, representing or opposite the 36 wars that take place in the world. We now have 72 concealed tzaddikim. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba said also in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, even for the sake of a single righteous man does the world endure. As it is said, but the righteous is the foundation of the world. Rabbi Chiya himself infers this from here. He will keep the feet of his holy ones. Holy ones means many. Rabbi Nachman bar Isaac said, it is written, his holy one. From the Megillah, meaning Esther's Megillah. Rabbi Elazar further said in the name of Rabbi Chanina, God will in the time to come be a crown on the head of every righteous man. As it is said, in that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory. What is meant by a crown of glory? And a diadem of beauty? For them that do his will and who await his glory shall he be so to all. Not so, since it says unto the residue of Lishar, his people, that is to whoever makes of himself a mere residue, Shiraim, and for a spirit of judgment. This indicates one who brings his inclination to trial, to him that sits in judgment. This indicates one who gives a true verdict on true evidence, and for strength. This indicates one who subdues his evil passions, that turn back the battle. This indicates those who trust and parry in the war of the Torah. At the gates these are the disciples of the wise, who are early and late in synagogue and the house of study. I'm going to call this session to a close. I may be recording sessions elsewhere throughout the night, and if I do, they will be put up on the website. You can the I'm looking up the I'm checking the phone number to be calling in for an unscheduled conference. We have our own phone number for that, but I've never really used it before, so. Here it is. The number is 218-936-7979. The access code is 911-904. And the PIN is 4424. Next week, starting Sunday at 10 a.m., we have a class, the sixth or seventh class of the San Diego sessions. I think it's the sixth class, but it's on the subject of restriction. Highly recommend people dial in for that class. On Tuesday, we have the Tisha B'Av, so we will be fasting and not giving a class because Tisha B'Av ends after the time of our normal class. Wednesday, we will be teaching two classes, one at 7:30, which will be a continuation of the restriction discussion in the San Diego group, and at 10 p.m., we will be discussing the mitzvah not to hate the Jew. A few weeks ago, we spoke of the mitzvah to love the Jew, which turned out to be love every human being. It will be interesting to understand why we have an additional mitzvah not to hate as opposed to love. It will be an interesting class. And then next Thursday, we will be reading from the Zohar from the Parsha of Be'etchanan. I wish you all a beautiful Hilulah for the benefit and the merit of Rabbi Isaac Luria, the Ari Saul, the Holy Ari. Shalom.
Continue
our recording to stop this. Hold on a second. Deduced from a minor premise. a major premise from a grain of wheat. If a grain of wheat that is buried naked sprouts up with many coverings, how much more so the just who are buried in their shrouds? Yevamot. For Rab Yudas stated in the name of Rab, what is the meaning of the scriptural text? I will dwell in your tent forever. Is it possible for a man to dwell in two worlds? But in fact it is this that David said to the Holy One, blessed be he, Lord of the universe, may it be your will that a traditional statement may be reported in my name in this world. For Rabbi Yochanan stated in the name of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, the lips of a deceased scholar, in whose name a traditional statement is reported in this world, moved gently in the grave. Said Rabbi Isaac Becerra, or it might be said Shimon the Nazarite, what is the scriptural proof of this? And the roof of your mouth, like the best wine that glides down smoothly for my beloved, moving gently the lips of those who are asleep like a heated mass of grapes. As a heated mass of grapes, as soon as man replaces his finger upon it, exudes immediately, so with the scholar, as soon as the traditional statement is made in their name in this world, their lips move gently in the grave. Bava Batra. Rabba, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, further stated, the Holy One, blessed be he, will make seven canopies for every righteous man. For it is said, and Hashem will create over the whole habitation of Mount Zion, and over her assemblies a cloud of smoke by day, and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For over all the glory shall be a canopy. This teaches that the Holy One, blessed be he, will make for everyone a canopy, corresponding to his rank. Why is smoke required in a canopy? Rabbi Hanina said, because whoever is stingy towards the scholars in this world will have his eyes filled with smoke in the world to come. Why is fire required in a canopy? Rabbi Hanina said, this teaches that each one will be burned by reason of his envy of the superior canopy of his friend. Woe for such shame, woe for such reproach. In a similar category in the following, and you shall put your honor upon him, but not all the honor. The elders of that generation said, the countenance of Moses was like that of the sun, the countenance of Joshua was like that of the moon. Woe for such shame, woe for such reproach. Rabbi said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Jerusalem of the world to come will not be like Jerusalem of the present world. Jerusalem of the present world, anyone who wishes goes up, but to that of the world to come, only those invited will go. Rabbi, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, further stated, the righteous will in time to come be called by the name of the Holy One, blessed be he, for it is said, everyone that is called by my name, and whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him, I have made him. Rabbi Samuel B. Nachmoni said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, three were called by the name of the Holy One, blessed be he, and they are the following, the righteous, the Messiah, and Jerusalem. This may be inferred as regards the righteous from what has been said. As regards the Messiah, it is written, and thus this is the name whereby he shall be called Hashem, is our righteousness. As regards Jerusalem, it is written, it shall be 18,000 reeds round about, and the name of the city from that day shall be the Lord is there. Do not read there, but its name. Rabbi Elazar said, there will come a time when the holy will be said before the righteous as it is said before the Holy One, blessed be he, for it is said, and it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remains in Jerusalem shall be called holy. This is the prayer to be said before learning Kabbalah. For the sake of the unification of the Holy One, blessed be he, and his Shekinah, the Divine Presence, in awe and love, and in love and awe, for the sake of uniting the letters Yud and He and Wa and He by the energy of the light of En Sof, the infinite one that strengthens them and unites them in a perfect unity. In the name of all Israel, raising Shekhinah.